with a Baptist preacher, and he's about as close to a Baptist-costal as you can get. Praise God. Amen. So we're working on him. Three Pentecostals and a Baptist minister meeting together. We got him outnumbered. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But he's a good guy. I appreciate him. Pray for him and his church, and pray for a dear brother, James and his church, and Brother Bob and his church, and pray for the Brother Paul and the ministry, all pro pastors. I'll tell you more about that, because it is a ministry, a missionary outreach to pastors, and that's quite an unusual thing to take place, is that there be a ministry that has a mission field that has gone overlooked and underestimated the need in pastors. But since there is 17,000 ministers leaving the ministry a year, then there is a great mission field among ministers. Since ministers, homes and marriages are not doing all that well anymore, there's a great need to minister to ministers. Since there is moral failure in pulpits all across America, I'm getting to where I'm shocked, but I'm not surprised, because of the way the church is running and the things that people are going after as the top shelf things in ministry today. Top shelf should be to serve Jesus, amen, to serve him for the right reasons instead of the wrong reasons. And the moment we move out of the things of the Spirit and we move into the material things of this world, we open the door for the enemy to come and deceive us. And we're seeing the destruction. The path of destruction is still being cut as Satan brings down. And by the way, Satan is not going to bring down all those that are in error. He would be foolish to do so, because it would stand as a warning to others that are following them. He wants some to continue to prosper materially. Can you say amen? And numerically and in other ways, because that brings a whole generation saying, I want to follow that pattern. I want to follow that style of ministry. I want to follow that way of preaching the gospel, which is really not the gospel at all. So we're praying today that God will just help us to stay on the right path until the revival breaks. Amen. I feel like one of those people that are, when the revival breaks, I'm not going to have to go back and edit my sermons to accommodate the truth. I want to be in line with it when it gets here. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're just going to hold the line for Jesus and just see where the Lord takes us. If you have your Bible tonight, I want you to turn back with me to Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 6. We started to move into this area. Sometimes the Lord will take us and veer us into something else, but this is a teaching that's very important tonight. I have made statements to you that I feel was said under a prophetic anointing. I am not a prophet per se. I am a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm a pastor to the body of Christ. And because of the media that God has used, I consider myself to be a pastor evangelist. And I don't even have to travel anywhere yet to be called an evangelist. Amen. Because I'm really not looking to go to churches and hold 3 or 4 days of meeting and call that revival. Amen. Preaching to mainly save people. But when the gospel goes to where God is sending it through the airways and the media, that is the work of an evangelist. Paul said, I have strived not to preach Christ where Christ is already preached, or to build on another man's foundation. We're not in competition with one another. But he said, God has called me to preach the gospel to the regions beyond. I love the attitude of one missionary. He said, no one deserves to hear the gospel twice until everyone has heard the gospel once. Sometimes we're making a plea to people that, and actually Jesus told us, don't cast your pearl before swine. It's not calling people pigs. It's not being disrespectful to those. He loved everyone enough to give his life on the cross to save them. It's saying that a swine has no more respect for a pearl than a person who is running from the light has for the gospel that is shining unto them. And he says, don't waste your time trying to shove the gospel on somebody who don't want it, when you could look beyond that and find someone that will gladly receive the good news that he can have, or she can have, their sins forgiven. Can you say amen? In other words, don't just beat your head against a brick wall with someone. Pray for them, commit them to the Lord, and keep on witnessing. Praise the Lord. You may witness to 1,000 people and no one come to Jesus, but When that one comes, it's worth every effort that we put into it and every sacrifice to see one soul saved. My mother-in-law, I'm so glad that I can honestly say that she gave her heart to Jesus Christ. She had her trust in Him and had His peace in her heart to go home with. So when we have this funeral next week at 3 p.m., it's going to be a celebration of her life and a celebration, amen, of the faith that sustained her to move from this world to that world. And I'm so glad that we were at 10th and Sitka. I'm so glad that we used the right bait to get her in church. Nothing worked till we told them we were going to have a banjo and a fiddle and a dobro and have a bluegrass gospel. And you get a mountain girl down here in Florida, hadn't been hearing much bluegrass gospel music. It's a little bit different, but it's good. My dad used to play a little bit with a bluegrass group and down in WHBO. Out on North Florida Avenue, some live broadcast. I remember sitting in the corner watching him saw that fiddle. Praise the Lord. And we got to get him down here with that fiddle again. Amen. He's not too old to saw it, so he needs to come and continue to saw it for Jesus. Hallelujah. Heard him playing the other day. Amazing that his fingers, because I don't even try with my old meat hooks. Amen. But he can still just do what he needs to do on those strings after 90, going on 91 years old or 92, I don't know. I've lost count, praise God. But he's still around, and he still plays for the Lord, and he still loves to play for Jesus. Amen. All right, Jeremiah 50 and verse 6, listen to it carefully once again this evening. We won't spend a whole lot of time reviewing, but we have to set a pattern for where we're going. Listen. Returning to our resting place. I want you to say that with me, not returning to our resting place. This rest in the Lord is that place in Him. When our faith is in Him and we're in the position and posture before Him that He can bless us, and we know that He is in control and that He's going to provide for us, He's going to protect us, He's going to defend us, amen, because we're in that place that we need to be. The Bible warned us to use ancient Israel in the book of Hebrews as an example of people who failed to enter into His rest. And the Bible said God didn't want any of us to fall short of entering into His rest. Can you say amen? They couldn't enter in specifically because of unbelief. Unbelief, not doubt, but unbelief. There's a difference in refusal to believe God and just having struggles with our flesh and with our mind. And how many ever have a battle with your mind and your senses when you're trying to stand on the Word of God? You're praying, everything you see and feel is opposite to what you're praying for, and you just have to get bulldog faith. Amen? Just latch on and hold on. Praise God. I like that song by James Cleveland, Hold On. Just a little while longer, hold on. Just a little while longer, hold. You know, that little while longer sometimes is when the greatest victories come. Praise God. Listen to Jeremiah 50 and verse 6. My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. Now, I could stop right there and talk about all the junk, but I think most of you are discovering it for yourself. If you become a real student of Scripture, you're going to see some things that are very wrong in many ministries today. Not because you're a critic picking at people, but because you're a student of God's Word, as you should be. We're responsible to discover truth for ourselves. Pastors help guide us into that. The Holy Spirit's here to guide us into truth. But ultimately, it's our responsibility to get in the Word and discover that truth. Amen. And if we don't get in the Word, we're going to be easily deceived. So listen to this. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill, and they have forgotten their resting place. They have forgotten their resting place. I want to read it from the Amplified because, boy, it brings out the context of this text. And it says, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray to favorite places of idolatry. Everybody say covetousness is idolatry. You just quoted the Word of God in the New Covenant, the New Testament. Amen. Covetousness is idolatry. The Scripture, you know what it means to covet? It means to look at what somebody else has and want it for yourself. It's amazing the teaching that follows the absolute definition of covetousness today. Amen. We think if we have what the world has, and we say we want it for the glory of God, but the flesh is very, very subtle and very seductive. The heart of man is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? Well, God knows it. Can you say, man, He knows it very well. Amen? But it's deceitfully wicked above all things, and who can know it? That's why David said, "Search me, O Lord. Look straight into my heart and see if there be an unclean way in me." Everybody wants all of the wealth of the world so we can get the gospel out. It's all for God. But we build earthly kingdoms with millions of dollars that don't go into the gospel or the hungry or the poor. We build it to lavish on ourselves. Amen? I don't believe a preacher should be a pauper. And everybody say amen. Please say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't believe God intended for the preacher to live in a shack while everybody else lives in a block house. Amen? I don't believe that. But I equally don't believe that it's God's will for ministers to live in what you call opulence while asking people to give to help them get the gospel out. Amen? There's no need in one man is tearing down his million-dollar house and building a $3 million house. Why in the world would a man with a million-dollar home who's looking for the soon coming of Jesus, wanting to get the gospel to the world, want to spend more millions on something that's absolutely unnecessary to anything except to say, in pride, look what I have. Can you say amen? Well, that's silly. That's ridiculous. No wonder the world looks at us suspect. Amen. And the Bible said actually in 2 Peter, the gospel would be evil spoken of. The truth would be evil spoken of because of the way it's misrepresented by greedy ministers that are trying to do one thing, and that's separate people from their money, not truly win souls to Christ. Can you say amen? It gets ridiculous after a while, doesn't it? And yet we're saying this is the will of the Lord. When you get leadership like that, they lead people into idolatry. Amen? They go from hill to hill looking for that will satisfy. Self-indulgence becomes the order of the day instead of self-sacrifice. And I've told you about self-sacrifice. People hear suffering and sacrifice, they think of emptiness and doing without. No, amen, it just makes more room for God to fill. We got a good amen over here. We got a couple over here, and we got some holy murmurs. Amen. Let's try that a little bit better. Amen. Listen, you've got to make room for God to fill you. And your heart has to be empty of the things of this world for God to fill it with Himself. It doesn't mean you do without. Amen. It means you just commit what you have. Amen. And what you achieve, you commit it all to your Father. Your Father knows what you have need of. And top notch on that need is for him to fill you with His presence so that He can satisfy the deepest longings of your heart and the deepest longings of your soul. We're living in a day that is shocking to me that we could see this going on, and we've left our resting place. People are still going from hill to hill, and they're looking for that will satisfy. And that prophetic anointing that I believe is God, and time will tell, amen, but I believe the next revival, the true revival, the real revival, the authentic revival that we should be praying for will not come through a major ministry. Amen. Thank you for the hearty amen. I did a little study on these great revivals, and God got there before the preacher showed up. Amen. God began to move in the hearts of people. People began to respond to God personally. There were people who came to lead it and to do the preaching, but the revival, Spurgeon, had a great many souls won at that great church in London. And they asked him, "What is the secret of your effectiveness in winning souls?" And he said, "My people pray." So it was the Spirit of God that was doing the work. He did the preaching, but God's Spirit did the mighty work. Amen. And I believe a Spirit-driven revival, a Spirit-given, Spirit-driven revival will take place in churches where people get hungry for God and they seek after Him with all of their heart. Can you say amen? And I believe that it will be a revival based on going back before we can go forward spiritually. We got to get back to the Bible, back to the basics, back to the cross, back to holiness, back to righteousness. Can you say amen? Back to following Jesus for the right reason. In fact, we got a long way to go back. But we'll never get to our resting place where we are where God wants us to be, and we can just rest in the full assurance that we're where God wants us to be in Him, and now He's going to come to. Listen, return unto me. You got to go back to do that. You can't go forward to do that. What happens? Return unto me, and I will return unto you. And you will find me when you seek after me with how much of your heart? All of your heart. Can you say amen? All right, listen to this carefully. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray to favorite places of idolatry. On mountains that seduce, they are gone from one sin to another, mountain to hill. They have forgotten their own resting place. Let's go to Isaiah 30 and verse 15, just for a few moments. Something that is common to this resting place is peace. Everybody say it with me, peace. You know you're in that resting place when there's peace. Because peace with God is going to bring the peace of God into your life. Can you say, man, it is something when Israel's right with God. It said in the land, new peace in those days. And when an enemy tried to interrupt that peace, God dealt with it quickly. Can you say, man? He sent angels. The battle wasn't some long, drawn-out thing. Praise God. 185,000 troops died in one night because God sent an angel. Hallelujah. Amen. Because the land knew peace. God hedged those chosen people round about. He protected them. He provided for them. A choir sang about His mercy. Amen. And His consistency to show that mercy. And a whole enemy, a unified army, wiped each other out until no one was left standing. And He said, you won't have to fight in this battle because the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Amen. So many people want to fight the good fight of faith by just constantly being aware of the enemy and his minions, and always looking around like at any minute we can be destroyed. There, you're not in your resting place. Can you say, man, the good fight of faith rests in the full assurance that God is in control. Hallelujah, that God will rise up. Listen, when they picked that ark up by the poles and they lifted it up, you know what they said? They quoted it every single time that they got under it to move it. They said, let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Can you say amen? Wherever we go, amen, and God wants us to be, and this ark is in its rightful place, and we're right with God, then let God arise. Amen. When we are threatened, let God arise. I can see them getting under those wooden poles covered with gold in those rings so they didn't touch the ark itself, and picking it up on their shoulders and hollering, let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Can you say amen? People get so involved in the demonic and the satanic that they move out of their resting place, and they feel like they're in a wrestling match with the devil all the time. I want to get that scripture right in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. We argue not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places and the rulers of the darkness of this world. That is not to be taken lightly. That's quite an array of spiritual forces arrayed against the church and the Christian in particular. But the Bible said, just take to you the whole armor of God. And it enumerates each piece of that armor. And then it says something we need to define tonight. By the way, the last piece of that armor is crucial. It's critical. Amen. Because your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, I can show you the sword of the Spirit and get a sword to demonstrate that. I can probably buy a shield. I saw a shield the other day at a toy store, and I thought that'd be good for an illustration. But it just wasn't big enough to be representative of the shield of faith. Amen. We can put on a helmet. There was actually a helmet there, but since I'm not a kid anymore, my head was too big. Don't say nothing about me having the big head. Amen. Pastor's head wouldn't even fit in the helmet of salvation. I don't know what we're going to have a special made. No, I saw all of these things to illustrate, but there's something, and it's so easy to find props to illustrate spiritual armor. But you know what? Nobody looks at the bottom of the sandal. Nobody's paying any attention. But if each piece of this armor is vital to victory, everybody say vital to victory, then we need to start looking all the way down to the feet. Because there's a piece of armor for the feet. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And the Bible said the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace in them that make peace. Amen. And the Bible said, great peace have they, which embrace His law. Not run from it, but run to it and embrace it. Great peace have they who love His law. And the Scripture said the wicked are like the troubled sea whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. No peace. That's why they go from hill to hill. That's why they keep coveting, because they can't find a resting place. The world won't give you a resting place. It promises if you achieve that, if you get this, you will find a resting place. Even the ministers themselves can't be satisfied. They're still going from hill to mountain and from mountain to hill. Amen? You'd think a home in Malibu overlooking the ocean that costs $6 million would be enough. It isn't. Ever getting, never having enough. What does that say? Is that spirituality? Is that what the church is to be after? That we begin to run after the very things that the world is coming up short when they achieve it? Amen. You go to Hollywood with all the fame and the money and the beautiful people, and they go from person to person, from hill to mountain. Can you say amen? They're never satisfied. Mel Gibson is blowing a wonderful career, a great talent, and could have been a force for the faith, but he can't find happiness with his wife, so he gets this younger lady, and he can't find happiness with her, and he becomes a drunkard, and he becomes bigoted, and he's just a man that is destroying his life. So what do I want with what he's got? I'm going to tell you, he needs what I have tonight. Amen? He needs what you have if you're in your resting place. Amen? Because obviously he hasn't found it. There are ministers who haven't found it. They haven't found it. They haven't found it. They haven't found it. Nothing is enough. It's never enough. Never, ever getting enough. Rolls Royce isn't enough. Bentley isn't enough. There's no car good enough to satisfy anymore. Cadillac just won't do. It's all about status. It's all about saying, I have arrived. Arrived where? The fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus. Honey, if you get there, you're going to be happy. Amen. Amen. Not because of what you have in the material, but because of what you have spiritually to fulfill you. Amen. All right. Having said all that, we know about all that. Dear Lord in heaven. Amen. It's getting so crazy out there. But we can't give it up. We can't just give in and throw in the towel. We've got to hold the standard. Can you say amen? Listen carefully. Most people in America, to be honest with you, live beyond their means. We live beyond our means. We just can't do without this, and our children can't do without that. Amen. We live reaching. And it is a bad witness for the Church of Jesus Christ when we can't find happiness within our means. Amen. When we can't find happiness, when we compromise our own standards biblically and spiritually in order to be competitive with the world, because you got to have this to be happy. No, you don't. Happy is the man that, here's that resting place, that hath the Lord God of Jacob for his help. And happy is the nation, amen, whose God is the Lord. When we're right with God, there's a peace that comes. And a piece of that armor is called the shoes of peace. The preparation of the gospel of peace has to be ministered by those who have found that peace and are walking in that peace in their personal life. Amen? They used the Roman soldier because they were occupied by Rome at the writing of this. So the Roman soldier in his Penelope, his armament, Paul used that because they could all relate to it. And if you took off the shoe of a Roman soldier, the sandal, they were hobnailed shoes, boots, hobnailed. Better say hobnailed. I saw a shoe the other day. I thought they were some of the most greatest looking shoes. Amen. But they were golf shoes. And they had those, they had those thingies to grip, kind of like hobnail. They grip so you don't slip. You can go like that without your feet coming out from under you. You can stand without slipping. Everybody say, stand without slipping. See, the armor only works when you stand. And you can't stand unless you're sure-footed. Can you say amen? And you can't be sure-footed unless you put your hobnail boots on. It wasn't enough to have a sword and a shield and the know-how to fight, amen, for the Roman soldier. When he set himself in the battle, amen, he had to be able to stand his ground to fight effectively. That's why the Bible said, having done all, stand. Can you say amen? Oh, by the way, when it said having done all, it means having overcome all. You stand in the victory that has been granted you through Jesus Christ at the cross. That's how you win your battles. You don't fight to see if you can win it, to see if you might come out on top. You go out and declare like David, you come to me with sword and spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Can you say me? He declared before the fight started, I win. Isn't that incredible? Having overcome all, having overcome all, stand, 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 stand. The Bible said to stand fast in the liberty whereby Christ has made you free. Can you say amen? And get no more entangled in the yoke of bondage, but stand fast. There's so many things that you're supposed to stand fast in. Can you say amen? And it's in the standing, in the peace that God grants you. That's why getting back to a resting place is so important. Because without that peace, if Satan can interrupt your peace, you can't stand. You're not sure-footed anymore. When he comes against you, you can hold the sword of the Spirit and shake it at him. But he'll push you back. Why? Because you can't stand in the full assurance that you're right with God and God is with you. People are trying to get you out of that sovereign God taking up the fight and get you to fight it. The Bible said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty, but they are mighty through God. To the what? To the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imaginations, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are true, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, if there's anything of good report, focus and think only on these things. Amen and amen. We can win this battle tonight, but you've got to get back to a place of peace with God. I've been around people that didn't have that peace, and they get it mad at me for preaching like this. Amen. They want me to get down here like I'm in a life or death fight against the devil. I am not in a life or death battle against the devil. Can you say amen? I know I respect him. I understand to be sober and to be vigilant, and I am. That means watchful on all sides. Everybody say watchful on all sides. You never know where the attack is going to come from, but you know when it does come, amen, having done all, having overcome all, we stand our ground, praise God. And if we stand our ground, God shows up, and God shows out when he shows up. Can you say amen? And victory is ours in Jesus Christ. And every test becomes a testimony if we learn how to stand. Wow. I used to love to preach a sermon, and I still love to preach it, about this is the last time I'm leaving my pea patch. Remember that sermon? I still love it to this day. I need to pull it out sometime and preach the whole thing over again. But among David's mighty men, there was a man out there with the children of Israel, and they were not arrayed for battle. They weren't in the battle stance. They were out there in the agricultural, take care of the crop stance. And the Philistines gathered themselves together into a troop of armed soldiers, and they came over the hill to kill them and take all of their grain and take their land. And everyone dropped their tools and fled. Field of lentils, Shammah stood there in a field of lentils. He said, ain't going nowhere. And the Bible said he stood his ground and defended it. And he must have had a hoe or a shovel or a pitchfork. He had some farm implement. But he stood in the midst of that field of lentils and he defended it. And I love what happened when he stood. Because how many know there's no way one guy with a farm implement can defeat a troop of armed soldiers? But he stood, having done all what? Stand. There has to be a warrior peace come upon God's people. A warrior peace of knowing. And where do you get that warrior peace? You've got to know the covenant. You've got to know. You know what God said in his covenant? He said through his own servants that proved him at this. It makes no difference to God. Amen. When it comes to claiming the covenant, it makes no difference to God. Say that with me. Don't matter to God. To save by many or to save by few. He said if there's 50,000 of you want to claim it, I'll bless you when you go to battle. If there's 50 of you that want to claim it, I'll bless you when you go to battle. If there's 300 of you want to claim it, come on, Gideon. Amen. I'll bless you when you go to battle to win it. If two of you, Jonathan and his armor bearer, want to claim it, I'll bless you when you go to battle. When Jonathan and his armor bearer went up that hill, there was 1,000,000 troops and 300 chariots waiting for two Hebrews. God said, it don't matter to me. I'm going to show up and I'm going to show out. I'm going to keep my covenant. One of you will chase 1,000 and two will put 10,000 because I'm with you and I'm for you. See, that's the reversal. When they were wrong with God, they said they're going to chase you like that. Can you say amen? But you can turn that curse around, praise God, into a blessing. It don't matter to God. So if one man claims the covenant, by the way, they were claiming a covenant because you can't get faith up for that unless you know God is true to his covenant promises to ancient Israel and you understood you are a covenant person. One thing that makes you stand your ground is standing in the perfect assurance that I am a covenant person. This is the blood of the new covenant that we take symbols of at our communions. We're covenant people here. We're people of the new covenant, can you say amen? But a covenant is still in place, and it's a covenant that we can claim, and it's a covenant that we can take our stand in. It's a blood covenant, and we plead the blood of that covenant for our victory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. All right, listen to me carefully. This is good stuff. How many interested in the resting place? How many interested in the shoes of peace? How many want all of the armor of God? Let me tell you something. All of this armor in Ephesians 6, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, it all comes down to one thing. He teaches you how to put your armor on and us how to put our armor on and how to stand having done all stand. And then he says praying. Praying. Everybody say praying. 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 The next verse says praying. So this armor is so you can pray effectively. The great weapon then is prayer. Not just the armor itself, but you're armored so that you can do battle in prayer and win it on a spiritual level. Amen. Because the battle is not ours. The battle is always the Lord's. Hallelujah. Amen. And in prayer is where that battle is won or lost. And that's why the devil fights prayer. See, we get away from all of that and we want the power to be in our faith instead of in our God. The power is never in your faith. The power of faith is God, when God is its object, not in the person. This force, I'm reading the Bible and this force develops within. We even call faith a force within us. Honey, the power of faith is in God. It's all in God. It's God that listens to prayer. It's God that answers prayer. It's God that shows up. It's God that comes through. Faith didn't move a mountain. Faith allowed God to be released to move that mountain. And when it's done, faith doesn't get the credit. God gets the glory. Amen? You've got to watch this crazy, silly stuff. We don't want the sovereignty of God. We just got silly men and women out there preaching silly gospel. It's really not silly. It's very serious. When man wants to control everything in his life by the force of his faith. God didn't want us in control. God's in control. He wanted us bowing to him. We even got a people saying to say, not my will, but thy will is an illegitimate way to pray. And yet our master prayed that way. Isn't that incredible that they want us to follow them instead of him? Well, I knew him before I ever heard of them. And I'm telling you, I'm so glad I met him before them. Amen. Because I'm not all that impressed with them. But I have never got over him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Amen. And when you've seen him, not them, you've seen who? You've seen the Father. For in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. In him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! I just want preachers to teach me how to follow him. Guy the other day, he says on television, he said, when I was 17 years old, I read a book that changed my life. And he said, some people don't agree with it, but it changed my life. And I thought, sure, the man was going to pick up the life-changing book. And I knew he was nutty, but I didn't think he was this nutty. The only reason I listen, my dad has it on 24/7. I walk out there and it's on, and I roll my eyes and say, oh, Lord in heaven. Oh, what now? Amen. Anyway, he said, this book changed my life. I thought he was going to pick up the Bible. He said the book was Think and Grow Rich. Think and Grow Rich. I thought, so that's your influence. A preacher of the gospel. No, that's not the gospel. It won't blend with the gospel. Amen. And he said, if you just, anything I can conceive, I can have. Anything I can conceive in my mind, I can have. And I thought, you can't have nothing if people didn't send you that check. Your mind ain't going to make you rich. But a false gospel promoting idolatry and covetousness in people, that's what's made you rich. But you're leading them to idolatry. On every mountain, they go from mountain to hill. Sheep are supposed to be following closely to a shepherd, not running wild, saying, oh, I like some of that. I want to go over there. You know what they're going to end up doing? They're going to end up being lost sheep. And they're not going to live long. Can you say amen? Because there's wolves and there's bears and there's lions, and they won't make it. 24 hours, they won't make it. Jesus said he saw men as sheep having no shepherd. And he was moved with compassion because he know they won't make it. They're going to be destroyed if they're left to themselves. We have a crisis of true spiritual leadership in the Church of Jesus Christ today. We got men and women with great personalities and very eloquent, and it said they seduce them on every hill. Amen. The last days would be marked by seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It sounds good. It looks good. It's got enough truth blended with it to make it believable, but not enough to make it correct. We need to get back to our resting place. Down through the years, almost 37 years of pastoral ministry, I have seen Christians get so involved with this fight with the devil, they don't know how to stand. They don't have peace. Peace is easily interrupted. They're so conscious of the evil one in the netherworld, and they're not conscious of God being with them. And so they're always poised to fight. The adrenaline's always shooting forth, and the mind is always troubled, and the demonic world seems to be swirling around them almost to close in, and they seem to be hanging by a thread. That is not warrior peace. Amen. The spiritual warrior goes to battle with the full assurance that the battle is not his. The battle is the Lord's. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. David had peace facing a giant that everyone feared and trembled at his presence. Didn't he have peace? And he would have never loosed that stone if he hadn't first had the peace. And boy, the devil tried to shake his peace. First, he tried to accuse him of being proud by just being confident. There's a difference in being confident in the Lord and being self-confident. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I have no confidence in the flesh, i.e. my own flesh. Amen. But I have great confidence, amen, in Jesus Christ. I have great confidence in great Jehovah, my King, my God, and my Heavenly Father. I have great confidence in the mighty Holy Ghost who said, I'll never leave you. Yes. Hallelujah. Got a battle partner. Praise the Lord. Amen. So they said, I know the naughtiness of your heart and your pride. Why did you leave the sheep and come down here? I know how naughty you are. You should have stayed with the sheep. This is men's work. Well, the men weren't doing the work. Nobody would face the giant. He simply said, is there not a cause? And in essence, without being rude and crude, he's just telling his big brother, well, why don't you go fight him then? Are you going to champion the cause of the nation of Israel? Are you going to champion the cause of the name of our God? Are you going to go face him? And you know, when you put it in those terms, I think he just let the young fellow alone. I think he backed way off. Can you say, man? And then they begin to shake his peace by saying, look at the circumstance. Look at the circumstance. Don't look at God. Look at the circumstance. Amen. Have you seen the size of this man? And did they size him up? You bet. Their eyes were on him instead of the Lord. Amen. They got it to the inches of his height. They got it to the ounces of his weight. They even had a estimate of the weight of his spear, like a weaver's beam. Can you say, man? Have you seen the size of this man? What are they trying to do? Shake his peace. But they couldn't shake it. It's warrior peace. It's the peace that allows you to look that big seeming mountain of a man in the eye. Oh, by the way, I don't think it was just big, because archers and arrows don't care how big you are. Amen? Listen to me. Listen, there was something demonic about that. And where there's demonic activity, there's always strangulating fear. Everybody say strangulating fear. Amen. Satan wants to use fear to just strangle out the life of faith within us. God wants to use peace so we can stand and not be afraid, even when fearful things are all around us. Can you say, man? Peace, peace, wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit. Amen. Listen to me. Warrior peace is crucial and critical, but there's so many people that don't have peace. The old path will take you back to peace. Peace with God and the peace of God and the peace of knowing God is for me. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Peace like a river. Peace flooding the soul. The things that were written aforetime were written for our comfort. That through our instruction, that through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, we might have peace. Everybody say peace. All right? Listen to this. Isaiah 30 and 15. Here's the path to peace. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. And in quietness and confidence. Everybody say quiet confidence. Shall be your what? Your strength. This is warrior peace. It's a quiet confidence in the middle of chaos. It's a quiet confidence when a giant is saying, I'm going to cut off your head and feed your carcass to the fowls of the air. It's a quiet confidence that says, no, you're wrong. Amen. It's not really an argument. David made a statement. He said, no, it's going to go the other way. Hallelujah. Listen to the quiet confidence. Have you seen the size of this man? Listen to quiet confidence. Amen. You ready to hear it? I've slain the lion. I've slain the bear. Amen. I've been proving God. I've been walking. God's been showing up. Amen. In my life. Doesn't matter what the odds. What are the odds of a shepherd boy killing a lion? Amen. Slim and none. Even if he was lucky, he said, well, what if it happens again with a bear? Can you say amen? Slimmer and nunner. Amen. But he did it again. He said, I'm experienced with God. Amen. This is not something I'm just going to get out the old dusty Bible and get out my old rusty faith. He said, I'm walking with Him. He said, God is for me. And God is for Israel. And we're people of the covenant. Can you say amen? I've slain the lion and the bear. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? Hallelujah. Amen. He saw himself as part of God's great army. Rather than just a little simple shepherd boy that ought to shut up and go back to the sheep. Warrior peace will make you bold in the day of battle. Can you? Oh, righteousness brings boldness. Everybody say righteousness brings boldness. The wicked flee when no man pursues. But the righteous are bold as a lion. Why? Because they know God is for them. And there's a quiet confidence that makes them bold. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ah, praise the Lord. The strength in resting in the Lord is our strength in quietness and confidence. I call this RRQC. Everybody say that with me. RRQC. Return, rest, be quiet, and confident in God. Everybody say return. Rest. Be quiet. What did he say? Be still. And know what? Know what? What comes flooding into our soul? And know that I am God. And stand still. Everybody say there's those shoes of feet. Those shoes of feet. Those shoes of peace on my feet. Everybody say shoes of peace on my feet. Praise God. Stand, what? Having done all what? Stand. Stand how? Trembling? No. Stand on shaky legs? No. Stand what? Still. Be still and know. Stand still and see. Oh, come on, church. Be still and know. Stand still and see. Amen. It's the knowledge that causes you to stand. Hallelujah. But if you know Him, you can stand. They that do know their God will be strong. They will stand. And they will do exploits. Woo! Stand still and see the salvation or the deliverance of your God. Amen? Wow. Oh, by the way, He'll make your feet. Prophet said, it doesn't matter what's going to come down. Amen. He will make my feet. This is so you can stand. Amen. On sure-footedness. This is that resting peace. Trouble is all around. Corrective judgments are in the land. And he says, he'll make my feet like hinds' feet. Can you? I see that mountain. He's talking about a deer. But I am constantly. I hate to see anybody shoot something as majestic as that mountain goat. He's so beautiful. And they're chasing him with helicopters, you know, and chasing him down with a high-powered rifle. Oh, come on, man. Give him a chance. Can you say, I got to feel sorry for the beast. All they want to do is cut off his head and hang it on the wall. Amen? Go get you a fish that sings. Has anybody still got one of those things? That's only because he ate him. Can you say, it was on the wall. It's off the wall. I saw some. Anyway, amen. What he used to sing? Take me down to the water. Take me down to the water. But that mountain goat, he's between two sharp, you know. He's in a crevice and he's bouncing back and forth. He's so sure-footed. God built him for the high places, and it's all in his feet. Amen. He's got the kind of feet that can just go on those high places. So the Bible said he will make your feet like hinds' feet. And he will make you, I love the Amplified, he said he will make you to make progress, not stand still, but actually be able to go forward. That's how you win battles. Amen. You're standing, but you're moving forward. You're standing in the peace of God, but you're actually progressing spiritually. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And the enemy is being pushed back. He will make your feet like hinds' feet, he said, and he will make you not stand still, but make progress on your high places of trial and test. And they come, you will actually move forward instead of back. Not because he changes the grade of the circumstance, but he changes you. Woo! God doesn't always speak to the storm without, but he always speaks to the storm within that the storm without creates. And when he says, peace, be still to your heart, and you're able to enjoy and employ the peace that passes all understanding. Praise God. I love that my mother-in-law, when asked, do you know you're going home to be with the Lord? Amen. She said, yes, emphatically. I know it's time. And then my wife asked a very important question. Are you afraid? And she said, no. Emphatically. That's the peace that passes understanding. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Listen, folks, I've seen the shields used. I've never seen the bottom of the shoes. In fact, I've never even seen much attention paid to the shoes. But I'm going to tell you something. You take the boots off of any army anywhere and give them the best weaponry in the world, they're in trouble. Amen. Within one day of marching to the battlefield, they're going to have a bunch of cripples out there that can't stand their ground and fight. I was in Washington, D.C., and this was years and years ago, and they took one pastor from each of the United States and invited them to Washington, D.C., and I was one picked because a computer did it. If it had been anything but a computer, they would have never picked me. Can you say amen? Because a lot more bigger preachers, more prominent than me. I know I'm way up there, but I'm not that high. But anyway, they would have never picked your preacher. But I got picked to represent Florida. So with all these other about 50 pastors, you know, we gathered. We were eating in the Washington Hilton Hotel. Amen. And more forks than I knew what to do with. It gets too complicated for me. Give me a fork, a spoon, and a knife, and I will make do. Could you make do with good food? They had some real good food. I really don't need two forks and three forks and four spoons. And you know, but I didn't drink from the finger bowl. I was very proud of myself. I didn't sip from that. I was a pretty good guy. And I watched other people and saw what they were doing and waited, you know, and they picked up that one. And I said, okay, I'll pick up this one. Amen. But I was at the Capitol Hilton Hotel. And we were addressed that night by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And you know what he said to us? Because he had a faith in God. He said, we send our brightest and best to pastor churches and to do missionary work and evangelism. And the world sends its brightest and best to journalism and to be the people who report the news and give their spin and their slant on it. And don't think that journalists, they'll all look at you and say, I'm just neutral, I just report. No, everybody has an opinion. Everybody has a bias. I am very biased. I am completely narrow-minded. Can you say, man? I have an ulterior motive that I tell everybody what it is, so it's no secret. I have a Christian agenda. I want to further that agenda. Everything I do is to glorify Him and to bring souls into His kingdom. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, praise God. Well, I'm a little excited about what the Lord's doing and saying tonight. I want to win my battles. I don't want to live in defeat. I don't want to go around with a long face telling people, amen, that they need Jesus. I don't want to walk around with no joy and not have true revival and let the devil trample on me, amen, while I spout all kinds of scripture and tell people about truth when they look at me and they don't see anything in my life. They don't see the joy and they don't see the peace. I'm upset because they won't listen to me and I'm all mad and aggravated. Honey, they didn't listen to Jesus either. Everybody's not going to listen to you. Get your ego out of the way. Can you say, man, commit that to God and walk in the joy of Jesus, walk in the victory He's provided for you. Somebody will want to hear what you have to say when they see it working in your life. Amen. There's some people so bent out of shape over the shape of the world. The Bible said when you see these things begin to come to pass, just be like a turtle. Pull your old head in. Give up, throw in the towel. Amen. No, it said look up. Get a spirit of anticipation. These are the last of the last days. Amen. I'm being quoted out there on Facebook. Do you realize that? Jimmy Latham wrote to somebody on Facebook and said, "These are the last of the last days." And I said, "He preaching my message." I coined that phrase. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. You tell Jimmy that's not original. But also tell him it's not copyrighted neither. It's all right to use it. Praise God. Listen to me, we're almost done here tonight. Amen. If you're just a mully-grubbing, grub-by Christian, if we don't get back to this peace so we can have some joy in our life, you know why I have peace tonight? I have peace tonight because I believe God is still in control. I don't believe God is going to lose this thing. I believe God's going to win it. I believe in a last day revival. There's a lot of people who have given up on a revival in America. It's going to hell in a handbasket and nobody can do anything about it. That's not what the Scriptures say. That is not what the Scriptures say. That's what the devil wants you to believe, so that you get among those that are not believing for revival instead of those that are believing for it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Is America going to be a Christian nation and everybody get saved? Absolutely not. Is a bunch of people going to get saved in America? Absolutely. If you don't believe that, you have no business in the harvest. God couldn't use you in the harvest field because you can't see it anymore. You've lost the vision. You've given up. You just want God to get you out of here and get it over with. If you keep that attitude, no one will come to Christ under your ministry. Listen to me carefully. We got to finish. It's almost over. Listen, the Lord has given us shoes of peace. And when we return to Him, He returns to us. I'm going to read one more scripture. We're going to quit and pray. Jeremiah 6:16 and 17 is essential for the true revival. You don't have to just quote this scripture, but we all have to, in principle, obey it to see the authentic revival. Listen to it carefully. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and seek and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Go back and rediscover it, and what? Walk in it. And what happens? And you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. There's what you said this morning in prayer. How prophetic that was. If the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, they don't know what to do. But when the trumpet gives a certain sound, a clarion call, and people refuse to do it, it's no more the watchman that's responsible for what happens. It's the people's refusal to listen. But he said, if you'll listen, there's a clarion call to come back to the paths that was set for us. The path of righteousness is the path to peace. Everybody say, the path of righteousness is the path to peace. Peace with God and the peace of God, amen, is found on the path of righteousness. You get thoroughly right with God, you'll get your joy back. You get thoroughly right with God, you'll get your faith back. If you know God is for you, there's your bold faith for battle. Can you say amen? You get thoroughly right with God, you can resist the devil by submitting to Him. That's the only way to be thoroughly right with Him. Amen. And what happens? The devil's going to do what? What, attack you every day? You live in the constant threat of being destroyed? No, you live in the constant, amen, consciousness and confidence in God's keeping power in your life. Yeah. Can you say amen? Having done all, you stand in that warrior peace. Wow. Wow. They said, we will not listen. The old paths. Return to the old paths. Walk in the straight paths and you'll find rest. Hallelujah. He would give you rest and peace. Jesus said something about that, didn't He? In closing, what did Jesus say about that? Come unto me, you that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. And I want to explain this again. I want to make it very clear. Because we see a yoke of oxen. We watch a Little House on the Prairie, and there's two oxen pulling a wagon, and one of them's got his head in one side, and one of them got his head in the other side, and both of them are pulling together. So I got my head over here, and Jesus comes along and sticks His head over there, Amen. Together we're pulling. See, my strength and His strength merged and mingled is going to get it done. I can have rest and peace. No, your strength and His strength don't mingle when I'm weak. Not when I'm strong enough to pull alongside of Him. Amen. Oh, listen, when I'm weak, then am I made strong. His strength begins to kick in. Listen, this yoke is not about Jesus pulling half the load with you. This is the yoke. My yoke, His yoke. You want to hear His yoke? You want to know what it is? In the volume of the book it is written, I came to do thy will, O God. The works I do are not mine, but what I see my Father do. The words that I speak are not mine, they're what I hear my Father say. Amen? I am limited to His will. And when His will and my will come in conflict, I always defer and acquiesce to Him. Not my will, but thine be done. Take my yoke on you. And every shepherd knew what that yoke was. Because when a headstrong sheep kept getting out of the enclosure at night, pushing its head through and climbing through a gap in the fence, amen, he would put a yoke. Have you ever seen a dog with the collar of shame? We call it the collar of shame. Amen. You ever had a dog that had an itchy problem or some kind of surgical procedure and they were going to lick it and bother it, but you put this big cone around their neck? Amen. And they're walking around looking so silly and crazy, and you have great compassion on them, but you know it's for their own good. Because when they heal up, you can take that off, can't you? Amen. Because they'll let it alone then. But they got this big cone around. Well, this wasn't a cone like that. This was. If you can envision taking a bow and arrow and taking the string off two bows and arrows and taking the two bows and lashing them together and pulling the bows apart and letting it come down to where it's like this around the sheep. And the sheep goes up to the fence and decides, I'm going to go this way instead of the way that I'm supposed to go. I'm going to get out of this enclosure here and start doing some of my own thing. But I get up there, what does that yoke do? It stops him. Well, what is that keeping him from having a good time, or is that keeping him safe? It's keeping him safe, because if he gets out of the shepherd's care and he goes out there doing his own thing, there's a lion waiting for him to come out. There's a bear waiting for him. There's a wolf pack waiting for him. But if he takes that yoke, you know what he can do if he takes that yoke? If he allows that yoke in his life, amen, and it said, take it. Take my yoke, because God won't impose it. How many God know God won't force His will? You have to yield to it. You have to want to from the heart. You have to will to, and you have to commit to. And learn of me what allows for that yoke, for I am meek and lowly. Meek means you can be led. You can be governed. You can be supervised. Can you say, man, you will give heed to His word. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in spirit. What are you going to find? Just what it said right here. And you will find rest for your soul. Whew. Can you say, man, getting back to that old path of righteousness, of denying myself and taking up my cross and following Jesus Christ, can you say, man, will bring rest to my soul, peace to my life, and I can stand my ground, Brother Terry, and not let the devil push me around anymore. Shama stood with warrior peace. You have to have it to stand. You can't stand without it. He stood in the midst of the field of lentils and defended it with whatever he had. And see, it don't matter what you got in your hand. It could be the jawbone of a donkey. It'll work. If God is for you. Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? Amen. So what kind of weapon did he have? Amen. Well, I know what he didn't have. He didn't have an M1. He didn't have a 9mm Glock. He didn't have a Bowie knife. He didn't have a club. He was farming. He had a farm implement, but he stood and defended it. And listen to the next verse. And the Lord... Because the battle is the Lord's. The Lord, when the man stood, claimed the covenant, the Lord wrought a great victory. Wasn't it a surprise? Amen. Surprise, surprise to the enemy when they come down on this one man. Amen. And God showed up and they fell dead. Amen. As he stood his ground. Praise God. Hallelujah. Standing our ground allows the armor to kick in and do its job. But that piece of armor doesn't get top billing. Let me finish with this. In Washington, D.C., there was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. he was talking to us about all of the political issues as well as spiritual issues, and he said, we need to always have funding for our military, because our strength in America, our peace in America, is because we have a strong military. The reason people don't attack us is fear of the terrible retaliation. I'm talking about nuclear stuff. And he said, we need money allocated to get our troops very quickly to a battlefield. Very quickly to a battlefield. Because if we can't get them to the field of battle when they are needed to reinforce, then we're going to lose by default by not getting them there. And this is the illustration of you. You can have a heavyweight contender living in the Bronx that can beat anybody out there without a doubt. He's a knockout artist. He's got a born talent. He's big. He's strong. He's kind of a Mike Tyson type individual. This is before Mike Tyson's day. Remember, you if you went to a Mike Tyson fight, you couldn't go to the bathroom, because when you come back, it would be over. In fact, you couldn't go to the concession stand. In fact, you couldn't hardly blink your eye there for a while. Can you say amen? But you've got a heavyweight contender that is able to defeat any and all comers living in the Bronx. And if you can't get him to Madison Square Garden the night of the fight, you lose by default. Not because he can't win, but because he's not able to show up in that arena where the fight is going to take place. Let me tell you something. The spiritual armor is utilized in spiritual warfare in the arena of prayer. After you put it on, after it says the last word, amen, your feet shod with the preparation of peace, having done all, stand therefore. Amen. Having done all, stand. Then it says, praying with all prayer and supplication for me and for all saints, that utterance may be given unto me. Amen. The church is not in the arena of prayer. We got a message out there that you just confess things. You just say things. The force of your faith is going to do all of this. God has designed that his victories come in the arena of prayer. That's where the victories are won or lost. Because prayer means you have to make commitments. You have to be in a relationship with God. Amen. If you just build your faith, you just claim promises. But if you get into prayer, you're dealing with a person one-on-one. And you got to be right with that person to deal with him. Not just show him your faith, but show him your fidelity, your faithfulness. Amen. And the devil would push prayer aside and have people just confess things into existence. That's pretty weird stuff, isn't it? Amen. We're taking God's place, and God doesn't want us to take his place. Amen. I'm so glad he's sovereign and he's in control. I couldn't rest if I thought it was all on me, because if I have a bad day, the devil's going to kick me, amen, and bop me and beat me and destroy me and sift me as the wheat. What did Jesus say? Amen. I've prayed for you that your faith wouldn't fail. Amen. He desired to sift you as the wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith wouldn't fail. Amen. That the force of your faith would defeat him? No, that faith's object is always in the Lord. God is so good tonight. I pray you'll find and discover this wonderful piece of spiritual armor. I lost my peace and went through nervous breakdown, nervous exhaustion. The anointing kept me going. Amen. It wasn't nothing but the energy of the anointing that kept me going. And God's grace and mercy brought me through it. But I treasure peace. I'm after peace more than power, because power without peace is going to become ineffective. We won't be able to stand in the day of battle, and all the power at our disposal will be of no avail without that deep, settled peace within. I remember when my test became a testimony at work, because I remember whistling a happy tune on a Monday morning with all those people coming to work hungover. Well, I was hungover too in body, but in my spirit, I was built up. I've been in God's house, been among you while the word of God is coming forth, sung the high praises of God. Amen. I remember going into work whistling down in the locker room, just whistling. I don't even think it was a Christian tune or a non-Christian tune. It was a neutral tune, if there's such a thing. It was just, it was a happy song. Everybody say a happy song. happy songs on Monday morning are not heard where I worked. Amen. People are hungover and they're back in that rat race. Amen. Lily Tomlin said, the comedian, Lily Tomlin, said, even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. Can you say, man, you're still a rat? Nothing's changed. So even people out there winning the rat race are still rats. Can you say, amen? And so I was just whistling. And someone said, who is that whistling over there? Nobody's seen me yet. I'm whistling. My voice is distinctive, but my whistle, you wouldn't know it. Amen. It's not a great whistle. And someone beside them on the other side, that must be the Rev over there. I thought, testimony. Testimony. Just by being happy on Monday. And then the other guy said, he's got that deep, settled peace within. Oh, yeah. That's what I want to communicate. I've taken his yoke on me. And I found rest for my soul. Me and my brother here know what it is to lose that peace. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, me and my brother know how important this is to our victory in our life, to our peace of mind, to being able to function in life. Oh, praise God. Amen. We've had some intimate conversation about this peace thing. And he and I both are in 100% agreement about this. Amen. We need to pursue that with everything in us. People talk about the sword, the shield, the helmet, the breastplate, the belt of truth, and get all excited about it. But there's a piece of armor that without it, all the rest of it becomes ineffective. Your feet shod. The last thing that Roman soldier put on, amen, is he laced up the hobnail boots. And right now, if you come against him, he sets himself with all of his protection and all of his weaponry. Amen. And you're going to have a fight on your hands because he's dug in. Praise God. And all we have to do to see victory is stand in the victory that was given to us through Jesus at Calvary. Praise God, and God will do the rest. Can you say amen? I said God will do the rest. Oh, God will do the rest. Brother, would you come? Let's close tonight. Do you happen to have that thing from this morning? Number 5, I think there's 5 on there. I want you to stand tonight. Let's just praise him for a moment. I realize this is Sunday night, and if we can get into some consistent teachings, we will try to do that where we just keep going, maybe even in this next Sunday, not next Sunday night, because there's a funeral at 3 in the afternoon. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Amen. Did you learn something? Praise God. Then you're leaving here with knowledge. Can you say amen? And that means you're not going to go into captivity and you're not going to perish because you're not going to have lack of knowledge if you come here with an open heart and an open mind. Praise God. Hallelujah. I used to say, bow your heads and close your eyes. And one time I said, bow your eyes and close your heads. Amen. But and maybe that happens more often than not. But I believe we've got open eyes and open hearts here tonight. As tired as you is, amen, you listen good tonight. And I appreciate you for that. Because if I wasn't anointed, I'd be nodding off with you. Except the preacher make it exciting. It's a little bit exciting. Just a little. To think about victory. To discover something that assures you of victory. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's just praise him for a holy moment tonight.